Welcome to a special edition of the movie show on Monkeys Fighting Robots. Today, our guest is a legend and an all-around good guy. His latest book, Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor, is available now. Sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation with Bruce Campbell. Thank you for taking time to talk to me today.
It's my pleasure, my friend.
Your new book, Hail to the Chin, is out now. I don't want you to spoil your book, but can you tell us your second favorite story?
Visiting the troops in Iraq in 09.
And see, that's actually the second on my list. In researching for the interview, I saw that you worked with the USO when you were on burn notice. What was it like going to Iraq in 2009 and meeting the troops?
Ridiculous. It really shows you what goes into a war, because of the people that we met, three-quarters of them were in support, like transport, food, medical, outdoor facilities. You know, it was impressive, the amount of support that it takes to feed a war, two wars at that time, you know, out of one theater. So it was an impressive collision of people from all over the world coming through there. And the troops were just impressive, just generally these very impressive young men and women. It was great to see the new technology that they have on even these crappy little bases outside of Baghdad. They could FaceTime their loved ones at night. And I got to say, it was hilarious to look at these guys talking to their girlfriends, because some of these chicks were like very scantily clad. You know, this was not Vietnam where you send letters back and forth and it takes weeks to get you in the jungle. This was like they're at their house right now. And I thought that's really good for the troops, really helpful. I think the infrastructure was strong that they built for them. I didn't feel that they were not supported. I mean, what an operation. Holy crap, holy.
And one of my favorite memories of you as of late was back in 2015, you took over the weather at WGN in Chicago.
I've always wanted to do that, because you do the maps and the clicker thing. Where do you point? Because you're not looking where you're pointing. You're looking at a monitor, you know, and you've got to figure out when to click. It's an art form. Like my local town, they do their own teleprompter. They click with a pedal.
Oh, wow.
Or it's a little thing. They've got a little, like a bicycle handle in their hand, and they'll run their own teleprompter. It's pretty awesome. they can't yell at anybody. They're doing it.
I'm 40 now, but when I was 13 years old, my buddy and I watched Evil Dead 2. We then made our parents drive to every video store in upstate New York looking for Evil Dead 1. This was pre-internet, so the film became our urban legend. Video store clerks would kind of talk about it, but no one had ever seen a copy of it.
Wow.
And you have been to several fan conventions. Do you have a favorite, like, interaction with fans?
The weird thing about fans is they'll wait 2 hours in line and come up to you and they won't say a word. And they leave and I go, nice talking to you. You got 2 hours to think of something. You know, knock yourself. It's fine. You don't have to talk to me. But I think sometimes they get weirded out by the experience. And sometimes they don't know what to say because it's a little out of body. Because it's like seeing a teacher after school. You know, I remember seeing my first teacher after school. I was like, ugh, this doesn't feel right. You know, and so I guess there's some of that initial shock.
And speaking of teachers in high school, you and Sam Raimi met in high school. What was that first interaction like?
Well, the first one was junior high school.
Okay.
I thought he was a little creepy kid. He was dressed like Sherlock Holmes playing with dolls sitting on the floor of the hallway. He was blocking the hallway. I had to go way around him. And then we met in drama in radio speech class because I dropped a typing class. And so it was actually fun to publish a New York Times bestseller by hunting and pecking because I dropped typing class in high school.
Do you and Sam have enough goofball stories from high school to make a Netflix series out of it?
Funny thing is, we could, actually. I poked him in the eye with a pencil one time. We would rush at each other with a pencil, and you try and stop right at the last minute. And I poked him. I just poked him in the eye. And then he would sit behind me in school. I'd go to answer a question. Like in drama, this is drama class now. I'd answer a question, and he's sitting behind me. And as I'm answering, I feel that there's a tip of a pencil going into the back of my neck. And slowly increasing the pressure as I'm answering the question. And it became a massive test of wills of like, you're going to have to snap that thing off in the back of my neck before I give in to you, you son of a gun. He's like, you're going to break. I'm going to break you. So that was our relationship from the start. I have no idea how. I was his assistant at bar mitzvahs. He'd go to bar mitzvahs and he was a lame magician. And every time he hit me, the kids would laugh. And I think he took a mental note. Hurting Bruce is good. So that's where that came from.
You witnessed the evolution of special effects over your career. If you were a college student at Western Michigan today, would today's version of Within the Woods be better, or would the original Super 8 have more heart because you had to be more creative?
You had to work harder with Super 8 because you had to physically cut the splices. And if you had the sound wasn't in the same place as your picture. It was offset by like 16 frames. So you couldn't always edit where you wanted to visually. You had to edit where the sound was. It was very complicated. The equipment was weird. The projectors would eat everything. Now it's a digital thumb drive, and you put it in a digital projector, and away you go. So I'm glad for filmmakers now it's a lot easier to do it. But the harder way used to weed out all the slackers. You only made movies if you really, really wanted to because it was hard.
And you played Ronald Reagan in Fargo. Any political aspirations at that role?
Oh, no. No. Politics, here's the difference between Hollywood and Washington, D.C. You go to Hollywood to be rich and famous. You go to D.C. to become rich, famous, and powerful. You add the P word. Nah, no politics for this guy. I keep it off of Twitter, too. All my social media, no politics.
Again, you've been to a few conventions. Why does it seem, as society, we are more excited for the zombie apocalypse as opposed to the Star Trek sci-fi universe right now?
Both are still loved. They still are in existence, but zombies are leading the head of the pack right now. Demons, zombies, deadites, whatever you want to call them. Walking Dead has become so popular that, honestly, horror is becoming just a mainstream genre. You know, when I did it, it was like one rung of a porno. You know, there was horror. You were starting out. Young actors were always starting out in horror, and you would end your career in horror.
And looking back,
it's very mainstream.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And do you think like Netflix and Hulu and all those streaming services are making it even a better opportunity for horror?
They're making it a better opportunity for filmmakers because everybody's going to Netflix now. They're making everything, every TV show, every movie, making Adam Sandler deals with this guy, that guy. They're making Scorsese movies, you know? It's insane, but they figured it out. They represent the new era. They obviously took 15, 20 years worth of rental information and went, what's the most successful romantic comedy? And they go, we'll just make more of that. So they're very smart at Netflix. I'm impressed with them. I'd love to work with them.
Bruce, my time is up. Thank you for your time and best of luck with your book tour.
Thank you very much.
That was Bruce Campbell. His book, Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor, is available now. This concludes our special edition of The Movie Show on Monkeys Fighting Robots. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the interview, comment, review, and subscribe. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.